Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I want to remind you about Israel. Keep Israel in your prayers as of the president's going to be meeting with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about this framework of this peace deal that they're wanting to work out over there. There's 100 and some odd thousand missiles pointed at Israel right now. It's sort of like the Alinsky tactic, I feel, that where all of a sudden that this great pressure now is put on Israel. All these guns are put on Israel. Turkey's got all these Iron Curtains. All this stuff's happening. And now they're coming in trying to nudge Israel to do what they wanted to do. And it's like, you know, that may work with a stop sign in your community. It may work with an issue in your community. But this is Israel.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want to organize Israel. You know, you don't use those kind of tactics in there. And if you haven't yet heard this series, because the question was that I had was, as you're looking at all this, and it was just such a reprieve when God revealed this to me, because it's crazy. It's chaos. I mean, you think it's going one direction, then it goes another, and it goes this direction, then it goes another. And with that, you start realizing what's going on is that there is no agenda. There's just keep this rapid movement. And the agenda is not being shared so that people can be gathered up and herded up to be able to get to nudge a people to go a certain direction. And as a matter of fact, it's called the Alinsky methodology of that. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book. What's the name of the book that they wrote?
Drawing a blank. Alinsky Task?
Rules for Radicals. There's God. Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Thank you.
You were squinching your eyes and they were whispering. So I was like, "Ain't gonna happen." Rules for Radicals. It's like, well, that's gonna help us with earplugs on and radio on all that. So, right. So here we are, and when you understand Rules for Radicals and how this works, and you know, organizing techniques are not necessarily wrong. It depends on the motives that's being used, what the goal is. If your goal, for example, children can organize against their parents, that's not good. Mm-mm. But you can successfully organize against your parents.
Yeah.
Absalom, he organized Israel against his father, David. That's not good, but he was able to organize that. But also you think about Dr. King. Dr. King organized a lot of people for the rights, constitutional rights in America, for African Americans, for everybody. Civil rights. That was good. But organizing Israel is not good.
Not good.
You don't. And it's like, and what you're looking at, we're looking at the basic tactics that are explained. And it's called, the series is called Children of Organizers of the Night versus Organizer of the Day. And it breaks down each of these tactics and it'll help you. And I think you need to get that under your belt. You need to really get this into your DNA, because I watch Christians, I watch the masses, but you watch Christians and it's like, you're just like a puppet. You're doing everything that they say is going to happen. When you do this and this tactic, this is what people will do. And you do it, you know, and for example, when they were talking about healthcare, and I think everybody needs healthcare. I think, as a Christian outside the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God, I'm not going to be standing up and say, don't give anybody an aspirin. I can't do that. Sorry. You know, if somebody wants to help Miss Jones, you know, and you're not helping her, then I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to somebody who wants to help Miss Jones, for example. And it's a kingdom of God argument versus the kingdoms of this world argument. And how that's done, that can play out. But so when you see, but when they were bringing that up and people were, America was, you know, speaking out against, well, the church was speaking out against mandating having to buy insurance that would allow the people that worked for them, Christian organizations, to purchase birth control pills and that type of thing that would eliminate or prevent pregnancy. That they said that this is our beliefs. This is what we believe in. And so that argument was going strong, and it was, you know, that was a good argument, saying, you know, First Amendment says you couldn't do that. But what happened was the Alinsky tactics were used to where all of a sudden they changed the argument. Well, no. The argument originally was about healthcare in general. Mm-hmm. And the argument wasn't going over too well. And that's when they turned it over and made it about birth control in the church. And all of a sudden we have these hearings taking place, and the church is focusing on the birth control and having to purchase it for insurance, and totally left the argument. This is unconstitutional.
Right. Hello.
You know, and it's like, oh, that was so a brilliant move on behalf of somebody who knows how to organize folks. They changed the argument. So immediately the argument went from, this is unconstitutional because a third of the gross national product will be controlled by the government. The government will be in control of the people, and it's supposed to be a government by the people, other way around. Mm-hmm. But everybody just shifted, and all of a sudden now it became about birth control, and it came about the church. And they came right in and attacked the church. It was just a huge assault on the First Amendment and the Catholic social services and some of the things that they do. And I guess they had to defend themselves, but not leave that original argument. Mm-hmm. Well, those are it just makes sense when you understand the Alinsky model of organizing, and understanding too that the president taught these tactics for 4 years. He taught them for 4 years. And according to the Chicago Tribune, and he also worked with Alinsky, he was mentored by Alinsky, and so was former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She was mentored by Saul Alinsky. And she even wrote a paper on Saul Alinsky in her graduate class, which is sealed to this day. So we have no idea. Everybody's wanting to know. It's like, I would just like to know. I mean, because everything's out. It's like, why would you not want to show? What does this say? Right. You know, what could that paper say? I know my papers would be terrible. It's like, yeah, I know. It's a typo, subject verb agreement. And it just, you know.
I just didn't write them.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't write? I just didn't.
Oh, aha. And so, but. And this is what the Word of God tells us, that God's people are destroyed. It doesn't say they're delayed. It doesn't say they're hindered. The Word of God says God's people are destroyed now for a lack of knowledge. So why not get knowledge? Because when you let's go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. I think you see the torch going even possibly behind me. And look for there's a torch in the upper left-hand corner right there. But look for children, organizers of the night versus organizer of the day. And understand that we as Christians, that we're organized by Jesus. We're organized by Jesus. We follow him. And he has clarity. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he is God, and he knows what he's doing. He's the Son of God. He's leading us. His Spirit is dwelling inside of us. And when you think about Saul, when I talked about, you know, Saul, why are you organizing me? That Saul thought he was doing a work for God, but when he met God, he realized he was organizing against God. So what happened at that point, he took all of his skills, his ability to organize, and he submitted them to God. And he said, Jesus, I'm yours. And then Jesus began to organize Paul. And of course he was Saul, and then his name got changed to Paul, but all of a sudden this apostle, He became organized by Jesus. He is the supreme organizer. I mean, God's into organizing, but he is the organizer. And so what he did, Paul would listen to what God would tell him in dreams and visions and words and visitations and through the leadings, and he would do exactly what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he gave up all of his skill set. He submitted his skill set. And so when you see all this thing, it's, man, you're like organizing Israel. Mm. And that's what's taking place right now. Because somebody says, well, I will never do that. Well, if you have 100-something thousand missiles pointing at you, you have the whole world turning against you. You have the whole Arab League turned over to Vladimir Putin. You have, you know, the Russian Navy not only in the ocean right outside of Israel, but you also have it on the backdrop of our choice of our president, why they're speaking about who's going to lead our nation, I mean, the Russian Navy being there, that if you're Israel, you got to be a little, you know, intimidated about. Maybe originally you wouldn't have said, I would do this. But now it's like, we have 150 something thousand missiles pointed at us. And no, as Christians, we would say, I still can't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. I still can't give up what God said to me. And I'll love you, you know, and I'll pray for you, but I'm going to allow Jesus to organize me. Well, those techniques are being used right now on Israel. They're being used everywhere. Mm-hmm. The world's being organized right now with those tactics. This is the interesting thing about this book, by the way, and we'll go to break. The interesting thing about this book called Rules for Radicals, the author, Saul Alinsky, who wrote it, and I believe he was in prison when he wrote it, but the book is dedicated to someone in the very beginning of it. And he says he was the first one that did this and got his own kingdom. And he dedicates this book, Rules for Radicals, he dedicates it to Lucifer.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, all that stuff going on inside churches where you're trying to organize folks outside the authority that's there, or you're trying to do things, manipulate and all. It's like, you know, we got to allow Jesus to lead us, the supreme organizer. And he writes very distinctly down what he wants us to do. And he also leads us as we abide with him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Floating on clouds, everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
because
it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, today is the 20th of the month, and we like to look at whatever the corresponding proverb is today, because 31 proverbs, and we want wisdom, and we need wisdom more than ever. All these things are taking place, and wisdom can really help you when you got all this information just hitting you, and all this data's coming, and you know, if you got alarms on any of your little devices, they're like shouting at you, beep, beep, beep. It's like, stop, you know, mm-hmm. But if you have wisdom, wisdom will tell you how to respond to all that, you know. And today is the 20th of the month, so we're looking at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. And it reads, this is the Proverbs, what it reads. It says, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife. Think about it. It's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. What does that mean, you think? What's that mean? What do you think that means?
Well, let's find out.
All right, let's find out. Well, quick to quarrel. I mean, it's a fool, right?
Yeah.
Think about that. That is so something. And it's so, I mean, I've never seen, you know, you think about when Israel was in, when they were in captivity and God was raising up Gideon, actually. Mm-hmm. They were actually held captive by the Midianites. And Midian means strife. I mean, held captive by strife. There's nothing worse than a strifeful spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People don't like doing what strifeful people who have strifeful spirits want them to do, per se, but they end up doing what they want them to do because they just want to avoid mm-hmm. strife.
Right.
What's the difference, right?
Yeah, there is none.
What's the difference, you know?
Right.
And so a spirit of strife, it's demonic, by the way, and it wants to constantly stir up, you know, those kind of avoidances of doing what's right. And the definition of strife, according to dictionary.com, I have to wait for a minute because the ad dropped down right in front of me right here in the car. It says, you know, vigorous or bitter conflict. Vigorous, you know, vigorous, you think about, like consistent, like boom, boom, boom.
Very aggressive.
Boom. Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Very aggressive.
Oh, my goodness. Vigorous and bitter conflict, discord. I mean, so you can never... As long as there's strife, as long as there's a spirit of strife, you know, there will never be unity. Mm. Somebody says, you know, I just wish my family would be more united. I wish my marriage would be more united. I wish my church gathering would be more united. I wish my office would be more united. You know what? If you don't deal with the spirit of strife, if you don't deal with the fools, right?
Right.
Exactly. You're not going to have unity, is what he's saying. And it's the definition of strife is vigorous or bitter conflict, discord, antagonism. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of just plugging away.
Oh,
antagonistic, tough. You know? Mm-hmm. A quarrel, struggle, clash, competitive. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You know, as we as believers, really? You want to compete? We're on the same team.
Right.
Oh my goodness. You know, you score a touchdown for the team and they get angry with you. It's like, really? We're all going to wear the ring, right? Even the water boy gets to get the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wanting the glory, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, he says, it is in a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel, to argue, mm-hmm. To take on strife. Or a fool gets all intertwined with someone who has a spirit of strife.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. You look back and you think, you know, wisdom goes, are you really going to try to reason with that spirit of strife?
Right, right.
Instead, just go, okay, and keep moving.
Move
because
on.
Yeah, because somebody, it's to your honor. I know that the person is working your last nerve, and I know that they're probably, since they're held captive, they're also accusing you because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But realize, it looks like you look like a fool when you're trying to reason with somebody with a spirit of strife.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It's plainly wrong. Mm-hmm. It's ungodly. It's a sin. You know, and if they're not going to, you can't, you know, they have to deal with it. Now, one thing, if they want to deal with it, then you can actually pray and, mm-hmm. and you can drive out a spirit of strife. Mm-hmm. But the only, because it's based in a root of pride, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to conquer pride is humility, right?
Yeah, imagine that.
You know, the definition of, you know, for a long, I remember, you know, when I was trying to figure out, you know, as a believer and trying to hear what God is saying and, you know, and I was trying to figure out, as the Lord was speaking to me about pride, I was like, oh, there's so much pride in our lives, and it's just pride. My goodness, I mean, how do you identify pride, you know? And then he said, well, just look at, no, I'm just joking, you know I am. But he told me this. He says, don't even look for pride. Don't even look for pride. Think about it. To be able to locate pride, don't even look for it, because we all have so much of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
self-reliancy and all these different mm-hmm. things. And right. he said, look for humility. And if you don't see humility, you're looking at pride.
Yeah.
So then the question is, what's the definition of humility? Right?
Yeah.
And it says it's the opposite of pride.
Total opposite. Mm-hmm.
And it is total dependency on God. I mean, total, not right. just, you know, I trust him in this area, but not that area.
Right.
Well, that's the area you're strifeful in. That's yeah. when somebody starts dealing with that area, you start
somebody
getting...
touch that button.
Yeah, like, that's right. Strife! And it's like, I'm not going to talk to you because I'm not going to be a fool. Anyway, so that is total, the definition of humility is the opposite of pride. It's total dependency on God, and listen to this part, and respect for other people. You know, a fool... It's I think, you know, there's a proverb that says that you can't. It's just impossible to honor a fool.
Yeah,
you know. If
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm trying to honor you.
Right. And it's even so bad. The word even says it's better to live on the roof than to be in a house of strife.
Oh, that's true. It is. It really is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Get away.
That's right. That's why you build a second story.
Yeah.
And so you think about it. It says so. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you go resolve every strifeful Midianite issue going on. It just means if they're going to run on some treadmill of roller coaster of strife, and you could see there was this cartoon character. Most people probably don't know about this character. You know, it was called Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
But there was this one kid. I don't know what he was, but he carried a cloud with him. He had like a cloud of dirt. I don't know what his name
yeah,
was.
Yeah, his name's Pigpen.
Oh, really? That was his name?
Yeah,
was it Pigpen?
Pigpen.
Oh, is that kind of biblical, right? You know, Barbara was talking to me about a book about deliverance, and you know, the pig, the demons flew out of the Jewish men who were herding pigs, which is a contradiction. They shouldn't have had any pigs in the first place,
right?
And they went no, they went out of the people, and they went
into the
pig. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah,
and so this book is about, you know, the pig's pollen and different things like that. And so you're going to have to help me out. How did pigs come up? What did that come
you're
from?
You're talking about Charlie
Brown. Oh, Charlie Brown. Yeah, Pigpen. Yeah.
And so
they're like Pigpen because he walked around with a big cloud around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, you know, ma'am, dude. And you know, think about it. Okay, if you want to have a Pigpen cloud around you, which is all this demonic festerings, like, I mean, if you could, if you begin to abide with God, you can really just see the stuff. You know, you can just see it. And we're moved with compassion over that. We want everybody to be free. I mean, Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But if you won't listen, I mean, if you've partnered with Second Heaven, which is Ephesians 6:12, and you decided that you're going to live your life that way, it's actually to my honor to avoid you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is pretty a big relief, because a lot of times people have this Messiah complex where they think they're going to go help this person. It's like, dude, if they're going to stay in that spirit of strife, you know, don't get on the roller coaster ride. And I think, you know, they say, you know, as you get older, you get wiser. But the thing is, you're just tireder. It's like, I don't have enough energy to get on that roller coaster.
Right.
And so this Messiah complex, get past that thing and say, you know what? You know, I'm just going to avoid you. It's to my honor to avoid that. It's to my honor to make sure that I don't do things that would cause strife, you know? But every fool is quick to argue, and it's amazing. You know, it's like, are you arguing?
Right.
Really? Is that, I thought we were just going to have a cup of coffee. And so the word today, the wisdom today, you know, we want wisdom. God, give us wisdom. And think about it. Solomon could have asked for anything when he took over from his father, David, King David. Mm-hmm. He could ask for money. He could ask for wealth. He could have asked for anything. But he said, Lord, give me wisdom to be able to do what you've called me to do. Mm-hmm. Give me wisdom to lead your people. And God says this. This is what God says. And if you stop asking for things and ask for wisdom. He said, because you asked for wisdom, I will give you more wisdom than anybody's ever had. But I'll also give you all these other things that people are asking for, basically, mm-hmm. you know, gold, wealth, and all that kind of stuff. And he was like the richest man at that time. And so, actually, he was really rich because he had like gold and metals and things.
Yeah,
today, it's just
real,
like,
real
know,
money.
It's like, oh, of course I'm rich. Look at my numbers. And so that's our word today. You know, avoid strife. It's to your honor. Now, the person that has the strife on them that they refuse to deal with, they won't respond to you as if, wow, how honorable, you avoided me. They'll be saying, listen to me. It's like, I'm going to do the honorable thing. I think I'm just going to avoid this whole conversation and pray for them that they can be free, because Jesus was moved with compassion when he mm-hmm. saw this person's harassed and helpless. They're not, you know, they're not enjoying their life.
No.
And if you get too close, you won't enjoy yours.
That's right.
So that's for the wisdom for today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I've called you to be my witness, as Jesus said. Who will tell them? Who will I send? The harvest is plentiful, but those that I would send are few. Will you go for me? Will you tell them? I've given you that job, but you won't even bring me up at the job I gave you. I've given you that relationship, but you won't even bring your relationship to me. I've given you that home, and you have all these other gods in your home. When will you be sold out for me? When? I love you. I call you my own. I'm calling you to myself. I've proven my love for you. Prove yours for me. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. I'll cherish it. I'll heal your broken heart. I'll deliver you from the captive. I'll set you free. I'll use you in my kingdom.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at vfndreamcenter.org. That's vfndreamcenter.org.
I'm going to tell you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to vfntv.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to vfntv.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
A taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I remember we were sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I started talking about yesterday. If you missed yesterday, you got to catch it. There's some very encouraging. We're going to begin a conversation, and we're going to just soak in amongst the mercy and the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the truth of God, which we try to stay in, is also the truth of faith, and we want to build your faith up. We want to give you a grid that you can begin to have faith in God. And I want to encourage you, too, that if you have not yet gone to VFNTV.com and watched on VFNTV or on your app, The Cross of Christ, The Dependency Factor, you need to do that, because as you're progressing through faith, and quite often, I remember when Dick Rubin went to a particular faith movement and a powerful movement of God, Christians that were just really focused on honing their faith, that God had him rebuke them and said, you got faith in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You got faith in faith, and you need to get faith in God. Mm-hmm. And you can have a tendency, once you find out how, and people have it, I mean, it's amazing. Human nature is, once you figure out how to do it, you forget the one who taught you how to do it. And it's like, man has a tendency to leave God behind. Has a tendency to do that. And the power of faith, I mean, you think about it, even Eli wanted to buy it, when Paul was had his ministry going on, and you have other people I've seen when God begins to manifest his power in a specific way, it's a whoredom spirit. I mean, it's just like this lust. And it's like you're thinking they're wanting God, but really some people, not all people, majority are running after God because these are signs, but they're really having a whoring spirit after the power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like it's the same thing. Man wants to rule. They want the big whatever to rule over people, and so when you begin to move in faith, I want to encourage you to remember it's faith in God. Jesus, we talked about yesterday. Jesus said, "Have faith in God," and in the context of that, with God, with Jesus as your shepherd, our shepherd, and the cross of Christ and our dependency factor on his finished work on the cross, we were focused on walking out his predestined plan for us that he chose us before the foundation of the earth. We're not grabbing it, the ability to create and going into the world. I mean, look, you can see people in the world who don't even know God, who began to tap into how they were created and have began to create, and speak things into existence, give the speeches that we talked about yesterday, and they get a following and they get caught up in the fact of, like, since it's coming together, it must be God. And it's like, well, that's what they said at the Tower of Babel, but that's not true.
Right.
Because at the Tower of Babel, remember that they were all together, one vision, one heart, one mind, and they said, you know, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And it happened for them. They were going to build a tower to heaven. And of course, in our mindsets today, because of our pride, we would say, well, how could they build a tower to heaven? I mean, they didn't have cranes, right?
Yeah. Right.
As if our cranes can reach heaven.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
As if our planes can reach heaven.
Mm.
You know, just, oh, Lord, forgive us. And so, but then you go back and you look at the pyramids and you look at things and it's like, we don't know everything.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But either way, this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God said. He said that after getting the report of what's going on down there, he says, listen, we're going to go down there. We're going to need to break this up because they're in agreement, because they're walking under one vision, because they, and I'm putting into my words, because they've tapped into how I created them.
Mm.
They're going to accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he do? He came and changed the languages. And if you can't communicate, and this is what I'm telling you, one of the big things, you know, this promulgated by a couple that are no longer married anymore.
Mm.
And it's been infiltrated into the church is, you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Yeah.
And they just, people just buy into the fact that men and women can't communicate. And the truth is that's not true. You know, men can communicate with women. Women can communicate with men, because if you can't communicate, it'll be like the Tower of Babel and your marriage is going to be destroyed. If you buy into the fact, I'm just not going to talk to him, I'm just not going to talk to her, it's going to be like the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
Because God came and confused their languages so that they could not walk in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And when they couldn't walk in agreement, then it was no longer possible for them. And not only that, they quit hanging out together. They quit hanging out together. They began to migrate and go around. At that time, it pretty much probably was just one piece of landmass that had not yet broken up and pondered its way across the ocean.
Right.
A few theories. But if you don't believe that, stay in California for a while. I think it's about the wonder.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And but that's how powerful, you know, faith is and agreement is and having a clear vision is that even when you have it wrong, even if it's not of God, even if it's a tower to heaven, even if it's the Trump Tower, even if it's the Taj Mahal or the Iron Curtain, or if it's wanting to rule the world, you know, if it's wanting to be George Soros and crash down nations, economies, you know, whatever it is, or if it's for a third great awakening and believe, you know, say it just comes to pass. How we've been created in the image and the likeness of God. Which means that if he's a creator, big C creator,
right?
Then if we're creating his image and likeness, then we're our creator, but little c.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only create in the confines of his, within his will, as his sons and daughters of God. Right. But there's people who have not given their life to God, and they just go wild with what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, they're going to create wealth. They're going to create islands with their name on it, and industry, and kingdoms. They're going to create kingdoms. And and with that,
they do it.
Yeah, they do that. And it's amazing to me the tendency of folks to automatically put people on a pedestal who use their creative gift, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, good or bad, versus having an awestruck factor with the creator who created us. That it's because, like he talks about Romans chapter 1, that we acknowledge God, that he's the one that created us in his image and his likeness, and we have that authority. And he says, listen, I want you to go take dominion, and I want you to rule over the things on the earth, that, you know, not man, but over, you know, the animals and the birds and the earth. And with that, you know, we can speak things into existence. And people say, well, that's not true. There are so many people trying to get over what their great granddaddy said to them, you know, and they're struggling with a sentence that was given them. And it created inside of them something that they just can't shake. And they spend their whole life talking about what their great granddaddy said about them. Right. And you know the reason why? Because he created something over you when he said that. He spoke a curse over you. He released something in your life, which you now can begin to defeat that in God. And you can begin to speak something differently over your life and believe something differently. And all of a sudden, you're set free. Mm-hmm. You're set free when you begin to follow the ways of God and speak what God says about you over you and no longer believe. That's the power to create, the power to bind and loose in Jesus' name. And so he went there, Dick Rubin went there to be able to, it wasn't what he was planning on doing, but he ended up having to rebuke a large faith movement for having faith in faith and not faith in God. So as we're moving in this journey, realize, you know, lay everything down, every talent, everything we do, you know, is not for our being, but it's for the advancement of the kingdom. It's for the Lamb who is worthy. It's for Jesus. And if it don't fit that category, you know, you really need to ponder it. Are you living your life for yourself, or have you denied yourself, picked up your cross, and followed the Lord? Doesn't mean you're perfect or anything. And it's okay to take care of, you know, and God wants you to be taken care of. But what about the other 95% of your life?
Right.
You know, what are you creating during that time? And some people say, you know, well, I've already created my wealth. I've already created my stuff and my things. I'm not going to create. I'm just going to spend the rest of my 95% just enjoying that and kicking back and doing nothing.
Right.
And so, so I just want to just put an alert out for all of us to just remember that, this is a powerful revelation, and we're going to have to get the fullness, the full measure of Christ. And this is part of the full measure of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, how do you want me to, quote, invest this gift, this talent, this creativity in my life? Because remember, the master gives certain talents away, but then he comes back and says, how did you invest them?
Great gift means great responsibility.
That's exactly it. And everybody's been given a measure of faith. And it's not that you're doing what everybody else is doing, but what are you doing with the measure that you have been given?
That's right. You know, I was abiding in Mark chapter 2, and I saw where Jesus was ministering in a house, and so packed. I mean, the people were standing outside the house. I mean, Jesus was obviously extremely popular, and people gathered everywhere. Well, there was this man who was he was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get in, but knew that Jesus was there, and Jesus was preaching and healing the people that were sick. And so his friends, I'm paraphrasing, his friends take him on over there in a stretcher. They carry him out there. And because there wasn't any room to get in, people are standing outside the door, they decide to lower him through the roof. I mean, you can imagine these guys crawling and climbing up this house.
Right.
Tearing up the roof. I wonder whose house that was, but they're tearing up the roof.
Yeah, right.
And they lower this man, I don't know, maybe right before Jesus. I mean, and Jesus looks up and is just watching this thing unfold. And the Word of God says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. The thing about faith is that faith is displayed. You can actually see faith.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people say, well, I have faith. Well, so, okay.
Where
can we see it?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see faith. And if it's not displayed, you got to come to the point that there's really no faith at all. You know, and the Word of God says in James 2:17 that in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, it is dead. And it's really the action that proves that we actually have faith.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like slap your mama... Hot sauce, is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did, yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about slap your
mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mom ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped food. Your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. Not something that you
saying.
Do.
Oh, saying.
Saying.
Shoo.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah. I said it to Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas ribs,
actually. He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh,
wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And the word faith means complete confidence and trust in a person or a remedy. In this case, we're talking about faith in God. We're not talking about, as we mentioned earlier, faith in faith. Mm-hmm. It's faith in God, because people have misplaced faith, misplaced confidence. I'm amazed at how much faith people put in themselves. Mm-hmm. But they have faith in jobs, they have faith in people, they have faith in their ability and their resources. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about having faith in God, and that's trusting in God's word. It's being fully persuaded of God's ways, his character, and his integrity. and his proven faithfulness.
Right.
That's what we're saying. We're having faith in God, and we accept God at his word, you know, and you see so much unfaithfulness today. You know, who are we to say that we can't have faith in God? When we're saying we're not having faith in God, what we're saying is, God, I can't trust you.
Right.
We're questioning his integrity.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And the truth is that the greatest thing that the enemy tries to do is mm-hmm. to shake us in our faith. And he does that by trying to get us to doubt. Mm-hmm. And really, doubt is a powerful thing because it really waters you down. It causes you to be unsure. Mm-hmm. It causes you to be uncertain, unstable. It causes you to lack confidence and be skeptical. And the truth is that our doubts are traitors. I mean, they cause us to be, you know, make us lose. This is what someone said. I'm gonna read your quote. It says, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we might have won.
Hmm.
And it causes us to be really kind of wishy-washy and to be in a perpetual state of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do, totally uncertain? What can you do being wishy-washy?
Mm-hmm.
Someone would say loosey-goosey. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. And mm-hmm. having faith requires you to be very clear, very specific, very purposeful in the direction that you're going. And the
Which
whole
brings it very accountable.
Absolutely.
And that's where we personally struggle is that if I start being specific, then I'll be held to specific expectations.
Mm.
So if I keep it ambivalent, I keep my job description down.
Right.
They'll never know I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So being very specific, say, you know, we're going to have the next about back. It's going to be on this day.
That's right.
It's going to look like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it puts everybody in a state of, oh, my goodness.
That's right.
The accountability.
It's yeah. huge.
Right. And that's what faith does. Faith puts that accountability. When we start being that specific,
mm-hmm.
our whole life then becomes accountable.
Right.
To our profession of faith,
mm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so to not have that kind of intensity in one's life, they can just say they have faith.
Mm-hmm.
But right. you ask them, and they're not going to be specific. They're not going to be, there's no evidence.
There's no clear, there's no purposeful.
Yeah. Right.
And they're flown by the wind.
Right, right. But the weakness of mankind is, well, if I say something very specific, then I'm going to have to believe God and begin to have the actions
right.
that follow that and not to quit doing what I'm doing.
That's right. Yeah. We were talking yesterday, you got to hone it out. You really have to get real specific. You got to write it out. You got to hone it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get building plans, strategy. And you know, there's four steps. You missed yesterday. You got to listen to incubating the power of incubating faith. I mean, there's four phases that we talked about yesterday. It's so powerful. Because it just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. And the question is, if a believer has faith, what are you believing in? Are you believing in God? You know, are you believing that God's going to be the one to bring it to pass? Or are you believing in the fact that you're going to bring it to pass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the truth is that all we can do, you know, God rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of faith. He's a rewarder of those that trust him. And we can begin to start speaking these things out. And once we start speaking them out, we can actually begin to start living them and walking them out.
Right.
But God doesn't respond to ambivalence.
Mm-mm.
You know, and if you're not specific, how will you know that you even got the thing that you're believing for when it shows up?
Right, exactly.
How will you know?
How would you even recognize it?
You wouldn't. That's just it. And if you think about everything that happens in the kingdom of God, I mean, your salvation comes by faith, your healing comes by faith. It's such
a promise comes by faith.
Promise by faith. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God is all by faith. And that's why the enemy comes so strong to try to sow that seed of doubt, to cause you to have mistrust, misgivings, to have you to have any kind of reservations and apprehension, because it's all about stopping what God wants to use you to believe him for. When we're operating in faith, we're actually partnering with God, and he's partnering with us. And together, we can see the vision come to pass. We can see what God wants to do all across the world. But, you know, in order to do that, you know, God created us in his image. You know, God's the Trinity, the triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, man is a triune being. He has a body that helps him relate to the earth. He has a soul that he has a mind to think. He has emotions. He has the ability to a will, a choice, a desire. And he also has a spirit. And his spirit is what allows him to communicate with God, to have communion with him. And so oftentimes what happens when we're trying to walk in faith is that we're trying to bring something to pass in a logical mindset using our mind instead of believing God, you know, in our spirit and in our heart for what he wants to do. Listen, God's not out of, I love what it was David Hogan said, God's not out of his mind, he's out of your mind. It's exactly what he wants you to be, because if you're analytical and you're trying to put rulers all over God, it's not going to happen. You're trying to measure what God's going to do. It's not going to come to pass. God exists outside of our logic, outside of our mind, outside of our reasoning. And he lives totally in a totally different dimension. He lives, it's the spiritual realm. And it requires us to let go of logic and just believe God for what he said he's going to do, for what he said in his word, and for looking over the faithfulness that God has had, you know, in our lives through so many years. When we're saying that we don't trust God, what we're saying is, Lord, you don't have integrity. We can't trust in your faithfulness. We can't trust in your word. And that's so not true. We can absolutely trust them.
Yeah, that's it. And the testing of your faith, that bombardment that comes. Listen, if you don't, and it says, this is what the word of God says. It says, you know, without vision, a people perish. The NIV says it this way: without vision, people are without restraint.
Mm. Yeah.
And one of the benefits of walking in faith, which means going through, if just like John was talking about, you need to go back and see the article on the VFN Torch, the incubating faith, is I hope there's a link to this one as well at the bottom, but it says that people without vision cast off restraint. Mm. And if you're having, and listen, we all have issues, and I'll be talking about that with the wisdom moment in the extra hour today. But the whole thing is that there'll be a lot less of that in your life with vision.
Right.
Because it helps you make decisions. It helps you say yes to some things, no to others, and it helps you realize why you've got to leave your life of sin, why you need to, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for living. When people have, you know, a feeling of hopelessness and a feeling of, you know, why am I even here? That's a person without a vision, without a purpose. And that's what's so important in being specific and the substance of things hoped for. You can see someone who walks in faith. You can just see it.
Right.
You can feel it too. It's so tangible.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Horse Rides of Pensacola, where they offer riding lessons, trail rides, riding excursions, and fun on the farm, and so much more. Saddle up and let's go for a ride today.
Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.